Welcome to Torat Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Smiles, and today we'll be learning Parsha Bechukosai. Parsha Bechukosai is known to have the brachos and the klolos, the blessings and the curses. Im Bechukosai Teilechu, if we follow and we go in the way of the ordinances, then beautiful blessings will happen. We'll have rain in the right time, we'll have a tremendous amount of produce. There will be peace in the land. Hashem will dwell with among us. And ve'im bechukosai timasu, and if lo aleinu, we despise the ways of the Torah, then terrible tragedies and difficulties, exile, famine, will befall us. We know that this parsha, Takanas of Ezra, is always read 2 weeks before the holiday of Shavuos, in preparation for the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment of Shavuos, which is our spiritual quota for the year. We have to prepare ourselves knowing the severity of not keeping the Torah, the severity of if we walk bekeri, we walk happenstance in our relationship with Hashem, and that there's a fallout for this behavior. And this parasha is supposed to inspire us to see how beautiful it is to accept Torah, and all the rewards that one will receive in living a Torah life. The end of the parsha is the laws of erechim, the laws of value. If a person wants to donate to the Beis HaMikdash their value, depending on their gender and the age, it's a certain amount that the Torah qualifies that a person should offer. When we examine this parsha, we take a look at the first words of the parsha, Im Bechukosai Teilechu. The word Teilechu, to walk, is a very important word. The Navi Zechariah describes Malachim as those beings that are omdim, that are standing, that are stationary. The hallmark of a Jew is process. The hallmark of the Jew is movement, of Teilechu, of not being apathetic, but rather learning more, growing more, seeing how we can develop and grow and learn and keep the Torah and mitzvot on a higher and higher level. Rashi tells us, what does it mean in Bechukosai Teilechu Shetiu Amelim B'Torah? That you have to invest the entirety of your being in Torah. And this is really the key of success in leading a Torah lifestyle, where it's not just an intellectual aspect, rather, it's the totality of our being. All my bones call out, Hashem, how great you are. And there's none like you. It's the entirety of our being, both intellectually and emotionally, that have to be invested in our relationship with the Torah lifestyle. Indeed, Rav Pinkus Zatzal notes that one of the sure ways of living such a mindset is the tefillah we ask Hashem for every morning. In the Birkos HaShachar, we say, we ask Hashem, Vaharevna. Hashem, allow Torah to be sweet in our mouth. Arev is also related to the word of Erev, mixture, right? The Erev, the night, is a mixture of day and night. If we want Torah to be Arev, mixed in us, really through and through, then we ask Hashem, help us feel the arevos, the sweetness in Torah. Help us feel that it's misuki midvash, that it's sweeter than honey. When a person is able to feel the sweetness of Torah, the beauty of Torah, then it's so much easier to involve the totality of our being. But there's really two sides of the coin. The more we invest the totality of our being, the more we will feel the sweetness of Torah, the more we will be connected to Torah. Indeed, of Dessler's Zatzal points out that which one invests in, even like a plant, where one just spends a lot of time in their garden and pruning and, you know, watering, one feels very connected, as if it's part of them is in that plant. The more we are amelim in Torah, the more we're involved in Torah, the more we have that as our primary mindset in our lives, the more we will feel that connection, the more we will feel that arevos. And my friends, we know that Torah lifestyle is not just about crossing the T's and dotting the I's. It's about being present in a real mindful way in our Avodas Hashem. Rav Shoren Alekhov HaLibov on this parasha brings a beautiful Maaseh, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal's father, who was also a tremendous Talmid Chacham in Russia, who had a friend, and they had a deal. Whoever would get to Shemayim first would come to the other one in a dream. And Rav Moshe Feinstein's father's friend died first, and he came to Rav Moshe Feinstein's father in a dream, and he asked him, tell me, what is it like in heaven? And he said, the judgment is a very exacting judgment. He says, however, aside from being held responsible for the positive mitzvot and guarding ourselves from the negative mitzvot, there's a much greater judgment that is found in heaven. And it's three words. Rachmana Liba Bai. Hashem, Rachmana Liba Bai wants our heart. And the real question is, when we do the Torah and mitzvot, are we investing the whole being of ourselves in this Avodas Hashem? Is it just doing it in a perfunctory type of way? Or do I really feel the joy that I, Kvutse Chomer, a human being, has the ability to serve Hashem, has the ability with every mitzvah to do, to feel this dveikus, to feel this connection to Hashem, to feel the joy in being able to do the will of Hashem. And that's really all encoded in the words, in bechukosai teilechu, to be able to be involved in the chukim, in things that I don't understand. I'm doing this because this is the will of God. Judaism isn't just self-serving, and I do the thing that makes sense to me, and that I understand, and that I feel connected to, then you're not really serving God, you're serving yourself. In bechukosai, in the laws that I don't understand, I'm teilechu, I'm continuously moving forward, I'm investing the entirety of my being, I'm doing this in order to connect to Hashem. The reason I'm created is to become this servant of Hashem. If a person's mindset and whole being is about connection, then a person is going to be a kli, a vehicle, to be able to receive the blessings from Hashem. The flip side is im bechukosai timasu. If one despises the mitzvos, and then lo aleinu, all of these terrible things will transpire. So Rashi notes, and this is a very, very fascinating Rashi, he says that there is a seven-layer, almost like slippery slope that happens where a person isn't going to despise the Torah all at once. If you don't put effort into learning and observance, you're going to fall into a seven-level category. First, you're not going to learn. Second, you're not going to do the mitzvahs properly. Third, you'll be disgusted by those who do keep the mitzvahs. Four, you'll hate the sages. Five, you'll attempt to dissuade others from keeping mitzvahs. Six, you'll deny the mitzvahs. And seven, you'll be kofir b'ikar. You will deny Hashem himself. This slippery slope that Rashi describes seems to be a little bit, perhaps, extreme. Just because a person doesn't learn, they're going to go down the slippery slope of being a kofer b'ikar, not believing in God. So again, it's not automatic. However, at the same time, there is something very powerful about this model that Rashi presents for us. And again, standing here, Erev Shavuos, this model has to stand in front of our eyes that we shouldn't fall into this type of trap. And I'd like to share now a beautiful insight of Rav Zev Lef in his Sefer describing a modern day example of how these seven levels operate. He gives one example. We can put any category, any mitzvah in its place, and we see the power of it. So let's sit back and appreciate the insight of Rav Lef. And here's the example that he gives. He calls it a person who Shomer Shabbos, and, you know, he calls it status quo Judaism. He's happy with where he's at, and he doesn't feel he needs, you know, to rock the boat. He does what he knows he does. He doesn't learn, but he feels like he knows enough. Okay, so this such a person he calls it Mr. Status Quo Judaism. He resists putting an effort into upgrading a Shabbos observance, which includes the laws of Borer, which is about the laws of separation. So in order to not feel guilty about this, he has to avoid learning anything that could remotely inform him about the laws of Borer, because, again, we don't want to feel guilty. So the first thing is he doesn't learn the laws of Borer. Better not to know, which then brings us down to level number two. Well, if you don't know, you can't do. And therefore, he is separating on Shabbos in ways that he's not allowed to separate. So he's taking the bones and the fish out of the bones out of the fish. And, you know, he buys a mechanical bone plucker. And because it's Shabbos, he buys a silver one, L'chol Shabbos Kodesh, which is absolutely usur. But again, he hasn't learned. He doesn't know. And he's very happy picking at his bones. He has maybe picking a bone about this too. Until one Friday night, he's at his neighbor's house. And he sees that his neighbor is sitting, staring at his fish, trying to figure out how the best way to eat this. So Mr. Status Quo Judaism looks at him and says, this is crazy. He's a fanatic. And he now has moved to level number three, Moes Bacheri Maosim. He's disgusted by others who observe mitzvos. And what does he do? He calls him a fanatic, a chanyuk. Why? Because, again, it assuages his guilt. I don't want to be a chanyuki. I don't want to be a fanatic. And he's perfectly happy in this way. Until the next day, he comes to shul. And guess what the rabbi talks about? There are some basic laws of Shabbos people don't know. Oh my gosh. Mr. Status Quo Judaism says to himself, not the rabbi too. And he doesn't want to feel guilty that the rabbi is telling him he should learn the laws of Shabbos. So what does he do? He takes it out on the rabbi. I can't learn from him. Do you know this rabbi's not a mensch? 20 years ago, he saw my grandmother and he didn't say hello to her. And that's why he can tune out the rabbi's exhortations without any pangs of conscience. And he just is again moving down to the next level of being, going against what the rabbis are saying. Then the fellow comes over to him afterwards and says, you know, we're starting a class. Maybe you want to join the class on the laws of Shabbos. And then he moves to level number five, Moes Acherim. Oh, you want to be more frum? You want to upgrade your Shabbos? You know, it's going to start with Borer. You never know where it's going to land. You're going to be a full-fledged fanatic. You don't want to go to these type of classes. And the guy says, no, you really should join us. So then Mr. Status Quo Judaism says, well, you think that this is a mitzvah? Let me tell you, this Borer thing isn't a halacha, because if it was, I'd be the first one to join the shir. It's a chumrah, it's a stringency. You know, everything has so many opinions. I'm sure somebody else says something else, and I'm on that person's side. And when he's shown, no, this isn't a minhag, this isn't an isolated opinion, this is a halacha, he's kofir v'ikar, and he says, okay, Borer is halacha, I can't do everything. There's a limit on how much I can let my halachos interfere and complicate my life. And then, thus the mitzvah is not the main concern, the ikar of his life, rather a mere detail in his life. Consequently, the commander of the mitzvah is not the main ikar in his life, but merely one who permits to interfere with his life. And this is kofir b'ikar, denying the main focus of one's life. This slippery slope, as Rav Lev points out, is such a message for us. Albeit, it's impossible for us to keep all the mitzvos, but where is our attitude? Where is that part of us that says, I don't know, I don't understand, I want to learn, I'm growing, I'm moving forward, I'm going step by step, but I have that openness. Im b'chukosai teilechu, I want to walk, I want to grow, I don't want to block myself off and trying to assuage my guilt. Oh, it's not for me. It's for chanyukis. No, I'm interested in growing. I'm interested in learning. And that's the mindset with which we have to walk into Shavuos. I am a Torah Jew who wants to be an even greater Torah Jew.